Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Listen, it is turkey season just right around the corner. And what a better way to start it than getting a new turkey call? Head over to PacificCustomCalls.com. They have a promo code, BHP25. You can save 25% off at checkout, whatever you order, whether waterfowl, apparel, turkey calls, 25% off. Use our promo code BHP25. Great guys up there. In Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho.
Having their turkey rodeo.
Turkey rodeo's coming up now. I think signups are over now, but if you're signed up, good luck there this year. And turkey rodeo's coming up. A lot of cool things going on up there with Pacific Calls. So check them out if you're in the market for a new call. Ducks, geese, cranes, turkeys, whatever you're wanting, they got something for you. PacificCustomCalls.com.
Official call of Stanfield Hunting Outfitters.
That is right. Next, we are also brought to you by Hemp Hill Farms. They also have a promo code, BHP. It is for 20% off of your next online order. CBD is the way to go.
Steve Barber told me he's got Thunder on him.
Really?
Yep. He's ordered him for Thunder and going to order him some. He's having some shoulder issues. Going to do the roll-on. I highly, highly recommend as you get older, feet hurt at nighttime. Joints, bones, aches, we're old. All them days of playing slow pitch softball are going to catch up to your ass when you get in your 50s. Get you some relief and call the Hemp Hill Farms. I use it every night. I take a gummy to sleep every night. Knocks me out for about 6 hours. Wake up without a hangover. It's great stuff.
Hemp Hill Farm, that's farm with a PH.com. Next, we are brought to you by Shin Gear. They have the best stuff that's on the market right now. Their waders are phenomenal. Jackets are amazing. I wear their bibs every single day. I cannot say enough good things about Shin Gear. They're great people to work with. They have an incredible warranty that they'll stand behind their products for as long as you stand in them. Customer service is at the forefront of all the products with Shin Gear. Amazing people. They got a Shin Fest coming up again in October. They're going to do the movie festival again, so make plans now. Memphis, October. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully, we're going to be there this year. Whatever you're needing, shingear.com is where to look for that. Great people. And their products are phenomenal. Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Rebel and Logan put on a great show. You can head over to their Patreon account, get signed up for there. They have a new episode every single week, and they have a bourbon review there. So if you're a bourbon drinker, that's your fancy, then check them out. Looking Glass Podcast. Logan's a great guy. I love
bourbon experts.
They are connoisseurs, one would say. But like I said, just go over to their Patreon, type in the Looking Glass Podcast. It'll pop up, and then you can just... Pay to play, boys and girls, pay to play. That's at patreon.com and go from there. Next, we are brought to you by Lucky Duck. They've got a lot of amazing stuff for waterfowl, but one of their kind of hidden gems is their varmint calls. Turkey, like I said, turkey season's coming up. To have big turkey numbers, you need to have a low predator number.
Get rid of them coons.
Get rid of coons, get rid of coyotes. They've got an amazing e-caller out there that you can call all these different things in. I say it every year, I'm going to shoot a lot of raccoons, and I never do. But this year, it's for certain. I'm going to. Right now, you can enjoy 20% off the Roughneck e-collar. That sale ends April 7th. Put your email in there for all the details. But
you got nothing to do in the spring. Once you shoot your turkeys, you're done. Go ahead and shoot you some coons.
Might as well.
Clean them up. Clear them out. Help your quail and your turkey numbers. Help everything out. Go kill some coons.
They've also got amazing A-frames. We hunt out of them every single day. Great spinners, obviously. 5-star crash test rated kennel, luckyduck.com. Next, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. It's the way I start my day every single day here at the Big Honker Lodge with the Missouri Boat Ride blend. They've gotten amazing different blends that are all phenomenal. They've got First Flight, Suns Up, Guns Up, Cinnamon Teal, Morning Wood, and they've also got a cold brew. Warmer days are coming. I like my afternoon coffee. I like it cold. So they've got the King Rider cold brew right now. Head over to their website right now, dirty.coffee.com. You can get on the loyalty program and it'll just ship straight to your door. You won't even have to go back.
So they have the coolest swag in the business.
They really do. Really do. Jay and Buck are also great guys. So if you see them at a hunting show, stock up there. And if not, dirty.coffee.com and it'll go straight to your door.
And they got the K-Cup cartridges now also.
Yeah. So if you're not a grounds kind of guy, they got K-Cups. So got whatever you need. Next, we're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries. They've changed the silhouette game. They're now into the floater line. They've got different floaters out there right now. They're kind of a one-stop shop, whatever you need. They've got gun cases. Their apparel is really, really good too. Full body snows. I know a lot of people are still shooting snow geese, which is crazy to me, but they do have a good looking full body snow goose decoy out there.
Apparel sale right now, 35% off top selling hoodies, shirts, hats, and youth gear. Limited quantity, so get on diebombindustries.com. Also, Squad Fest is when July.
It's coming up late July. I'm not for sure the date. It's around the 20th, 19th, 20th, somewhere around there. So if you're in the St. Louis area, come for the third or fourth annual Squad Fest. It's always a great time.
Fourth annual.
A lot of really good contest callers out there, and the beer goes down extra good in St. Louis. So we'll see you there. We'll be there and look forward to seeing you. Next, we're brought to you by Brit Labs, Double T British Kennel. Corey has some of the best British labs on the market right now. They're incredible civilians, and they are a monster out in the field. Hunted with them the last couple of years, and they're great, great dogs, and they're sweet as can be. That's the crazy thing. I mean, they're workhorses out in the field, and then you get them at home, and they're just a big old love bug. So
great pets.
If you're needing a new puppy, a started dog, or a finished dog, contact Corey, BritLabs.com, and he can y'all can all go from there. But I know a lot of people have been getting his dogs and not hearing anything but great reviews. So check him out, BritLabs.com. Also, we're brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is back in style, but they're not stopping at Bismuth. They will have a steel line out there, the Steel Legacy line, for people that are only want to shoot steel. If that's your jam, then they can help you.
Shooting ducks under 30 yards, it's cheaper, great knockdown power, got that same Boss technology in it, and that's BossShotShells.com. You can't go wrong with Boss. It only takes one.
That's right. Copper-plated Bismuth is my jam. They got their TSS turkey line out there, the Boss Tom, and let me tell you, it puts a hurting on them. So check them out at Boss Shot Shells.
Call them up, order some Stanfield 9s for dove season. Dove season is only like 5 months away.
It's not far.
5 months away from today, we'll be shooting doves. Holler at them, get you some Stanfield 9s. Yes, shot shells are going to be harder to get this year. Stock up now.
Yes, the shortage is going to be real. So if you wait till the last minute, there's a good chance that you won't have shotgun shells. So head over to Boss Shot Shells right now and get what you're going to need for this coming waterfowl season. Because if you wait too long, you're going to be sad. I promise you. Next, we're brought to you by MLR Graphics out there in Breckenridge, Texas. They make all of our swag out here at Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. They can do you too. If you're managing a baseball team or, you know, looking ahead, you got football coming up. No job too big or too small. Michael is a great guy, and he takes very, very good care of us.
Good Christian man, great family guy. Reach out to mlrgraphics.com in Breckenridge, Texas. They can ship to you. Like I said, they take care. All of our stuff comes from MLR. I highly recommend them.
Next, we are brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. No organization has done more to put ducks back into the sky. Figure out a way that you can get involved, whether it be starting a chapter, joining a chapter. Ducks Unlimited is the leader in wetland conservation. No organization does more to help the hunters out than Ducks Unlimited, and we're proud to be associated with them. So figure out a way to get involved. Ducks.org. Next, we are brought to you by Mossberg. Tell you what, that waterfowl gun that they got, it's Matty Robertson approved. It's Andy Shaver approved. It's what I shoot out here all winter long, and it's a workhorse. Shot it for 2 seasons now, never had a hiccup. You can check them out, Mossberg.com. If you're at a sporting goods store and you see a Mossberg behind the counter, put it to your shoulder. Give it a test run. They've done a lot of really, really good things with the 940 waterfowl gun. Love it. Check it out. Also, we're brought to you by Mallard Bay. They are the Airbnb of booking waterfowl hunts or hunts in general. If you are trying to book a hunt this coming season, no matter where, they've made it easier than ever before. You can literally type in what you're looking for, where, price range, and you'll have all these results pop up right there. So they have a vetting system with their outfitters, so you don't have to worry about getting your money taken. Head over to mallardbay.com to book your next hunting adventure.
And if you're an outfitter, I also highly recommend Mallard Bay for selling your hunts.
You get a lot of eyes on you.
Yes, a lot of eyes. You'll fill in your dates. So you guys out there that are starting businesses or established and you're having some trouble selling certain times, reach out to Mallard Bay and talk to them. White and them guys out there are great dudes.
Next, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield Stool. It has saved my back and my butt all waterfowl season. No more bucket butt for me. Set the Stanfield Stool in these A-frames, and I'm telling you what, it's the cat's meow. I'm comfortable all day, never got up achy or anything like that. Usually towards the end of the year, I'm feeling my age. Not anymore in the Stanfield Stool. They've also got a blind caddy out there. You can set it up on your A-frame, keep your coffee, your shotgun shells, calls all organized, keep it all right in front of you. They're ahead of the time. You can order all of this cool stuff at OutdoorSpecialties.com, and it'll ship straight to your door. Last but certainly not least, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. Dove season's coming up. like Jeff said, not too far away. We're filling in. So if you're wanting a dove hunting date, weekends are probably all gone, but we got some weekdays available.
I have opening day of dove season is a September 1st is on a Sunday this year. I've got a special for Sunday, Monday. It's $400. Come in on Saturday night, have dinner Saturday night, breakfast, three meals on Sunday, hunt morning, afternoon, spend the night again, have breakfast and a hunt on Monday morning, which is Labor Day. It's $400 a person. I've got limited opportunity. I think I've got room for 16 people. That is all I got left for that opening day. If you're interested in it, holler at me pretty quick, 940-658-3172. Can do some corporate dove hunts during the week. Private groups, got to have at least 20 people. Book the entire lodge for $10,000 for 20 people. Do two mornings, two afternoons, lodging and meals. StanfieldHunting.com.
Thank you so much for listening to the Big Hunker Podcast. None of this would be possible without you great listeners. So we appreciate you. Love you. Bye. Watch for deer.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, because y'all are going to turkey hunt, and I'm going to listen a lot.
No, you won't. You'll get on your fucking phone like you always do.
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
That's right. Welcome to the Big Honker Podcast. I'm Jeff Stanfield with the world famous Andy Shaver. And this podcast is brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. Are you doing the iced coffee yet?
I have started the iced coffee. You have started? I have. Okay. I'll have some today.
Did you 100%. Have some cold coffee on or warm coffee on Saturday?
Yeah.
It was cold Saturday.
Well, my cold coffee is in the afternoon.
Okay.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, 3:30, depending on what I got going on.
How cold was it turkey hunting there, Dave? In the low 40s?
It was... Yeah, the wind was what made it bad. It was like 20 miles an hour out of the north, and I had a poor guy from Florida, and he had on pants that you would wear when it's 95 degrees outside. So he got a little chilly.
Poor guy.
And it ain't like, you know, it ain't like waterfowl hunting where you can get up, walk around or anything. Like you, when you sit, like it's just, you're there, especially when birds are gobbling. So
before we get into
hard
this,
to warm up.
I'm going to tell Dylan happy birthday. Our granddaughter turns 10 years old today.
That's nice of you.
Boy, her grandma's getting old. I can tell you that much for sure.
Did you ever think you'd be sleeping with such an old lady?
No, honestly, no, I did not. You know, but you know, as you get older, your eyes change. So as you get older, an old woman becomes more attractive than she was when you were younger.
I've wondered about that. Introduce our guest and we can talk. We can talk about it all.
Speaking of old people, my good friend, a man I really enjoy being around.
Nashville
recording artist, Mr. Jamie Johnson.
How's it going?
Doing good. God, that was a fun weekend, wasn't it?
Can you sing for us, Mr. Johnson? No, my voice is going out. Well,
Got a little laryngitis.
When you told that guy
to take a little break.
For people that aren't on YouTube, Stacy Coker's with us today, and he looks like Jamie Johnson, and we were in Nashville a couple months ago.
Go to Spotify if you want to see him. It's on Spotify.
And guy asked him to come on stage to speak, and he's like, well, I'm having a little problems with my voice. That's why I'm not touring right now. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Johnson. Well, here's a complimentary bottle of bourbon for you. It was a good weekend.
Bullet
bourbon.
Brought us a bottle of bullet.
Yep. Very good weekend. Very, very good weekend. That guy cleaned up on tips, though, so he can pay for that bar.
Oh, he
probably made $600 to $1,000 that night just off our table.
Well, I mean, that trip to the table right there, I think he made about $480 or something like that with that bottle.
Yeah, he was a good dude. That was a great time.
He's a good kid.
Did you get your passport yet? Nope.
Not yet. I've been turkey hunting, man.
I don't understand y'all's fascinations with turkeys. We talked about this before, so we're going to talk about it on air now.
What did you said there's a cult following? What were you about to tell us?
Yeah, there. You know, you're talking about decoys. You know, there's a sub species of turkey hunter in Alabama. They refuse to use decoys. I mean, and they will not use decoy. You got to fool him with a turkey call, or you're just not going to kill him. They feel like that if you use a decoy, you're cheating.
Right.
And they about sucked me in there with them.
See, for me, it's the I feel like you have more control of where he's going to come out, if that makes sense. So, like with clients, if I can set decoys and I can be like, okay, set up for a shot right here at the decoy. You don't have as many variables as if he comes out too far to the right or to the left or behind you. Like if he's coming and gets on that decoy, it's a little bit more consistency from the client side of, hey,
absolutely,
just be ready for it right there.
Everybody does not know how to look for a turkey.
Right. Yeah, it's hard.
And you're not going to see that big old black ball with a fan coming through the woods at you right there through, as y'all's case, you know, through cactus and brush.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking for something the size of a Tweety bird jumping around in a bush, just that little head movement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
So that's
crazy
where the decoy comes into play.
It's crazy how hard it is to see a turkey. You'd figure he's all fucking puffed up and big old red head and he's black coming through there. You figure he'd stick out like anything, but like a lot of times, oh shit, there he is.
When he'll stand there and look at you for 45 minutes and they'll never move.
Mm-hmm.
As the non-turkey hunter in this conversation, when did they start using decoys for turkeys?
Fuck, I don't
Man, know. I think guys started, you know, using stuffers, you know, and then the market picked up. People seen a place to make money, but it's probably been I remember when it was outlawed in Alabama.
What was it? B-Mobile was the first one, I think. Probably.
Them old phone decoys and stuff.
Well, when it got popular.
You can look back and you can find duck decoys that the Inca Indians used back in the 1600s, 1500s, 1400s. I mean, I wondered.
Well, that's what a guy tells me. You know, a buddy of mine told me. He said, you bet your ass them Indians used a dadgum turkey fan. I said, yeah, but they wasn't shooting TSS like I'm shooting either.
Yeah. I don't know, but I've got too much waterfowl hunter in me. I like to throw out a big spread when I can.
Makes sense. I like it too.
And it's,
I like it too.
There's nothing cooler than when that bird's finally had enough and that you see his head change colors and he's like, all right, I'm going to whip some fucking ass.
They'll actually change colors, their heads.
Yeah.
No shit.
See, God damn,
I've never turkey. You took me one time. It was a terrible experience.
Yeah.
I tell you what I've got hooked on too this year is a trumpet call.
Really?
I'm 90% trumpet now.
What's a trumpet call? The wing bone?
You know, cord lock. Yeah, but it's a little trumpet. You know, you sing them at the NWTF. That little. Here's one.
Oh, I'll be damned. Huh?
Yeah.
Kind of like a
wing bone. Got a little flared in.
Yeah.
Blow that bitch real quick.
Is it loud?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They like it.
I might have to get me one of those for next year. Go to NWTF. Trevor and Alex need to make some of those. Get on that, boys.
You got a guy bringing you a decoy now.
Oh.
Trevor and Alex, they're good at making. They're good designing. You know, they're gonna come out in the new spec call this year.
Yeah.
We've talked about that.
Spoiler alert.
A little bit.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to every year to stay relevant, don't you?
You
gotta come up with something new every year.
I'm not in the loop on the secret society you guys are on with them. So.
That's what's you have to though.
Hell yeah. If you don't come up with something new every year, you're gonna get cast to the side.
Yeah. It's hard to reinvent the wheel every year.
What shocks me is the people that buy new calls every year. If you'd have told me 30 years ago that you could have that many duck call companies out there that are making calls, I thought, man, them guys ain't ever going to make no money. People buy calls like crazy. Every year they buy. My new guides get all the new calls every year, and it just blows my mind that they do that
stuff. Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. You know, they hear a pro blowing them. You know, and he can take that one of them old Primos calls that, you know, you see at Walmart and make it sound great.
Yeah.
A good caller can take a cheap call and make it sound real good. But they hear that and they say, that's the one I need. Mm-hmm. I got to have that one.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just got to practice with the calls you got and master them.
I had a bird this morning. And I think he saw my decoys because he gobbled several times close and he didn't come in. And I don't know.
Did you blow it?
I think it cost me. I think my decoys cost me this morning. Had that decoy not been there, he might have come out into the clearing.
Now that we're done with clients and it's just you hunting on your own, Andy, you're going to hunt all the time, right?
I don't know.
Actually enjoy it that much, though.
I enjoy it, but I can't do a podcast. I've figured that out. Like, I turkey hunted this morning, got my ass kicked, and now I'm in a funk.
So tomorrow, you don't have a podcast tomorrow, so you'll go hunt in the morning.
It's going to be windy in the morning.
God damn.
It's no fun if it's no fucking fun to hunt if it's 30-mile-an-hour winds.
So thunderstorms all week, so I'm assuming it's going to be windy all week long.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably not turkey hunting this week if the wind stays high.
Okay, Stacy, I got a swamp question for you since you hunt down there in them swamps. How many snakes have you ran into this year?
I see. Well, I had one on video the other day. And as far as I know, somebody's still laying there. It never moved. Just kept looking at me.
Like I would have left.
When I was in Texas, I seen a rattlesnake.
I'd been left.
That's about it. I've just seen two. Now I've had a lot of ticks.
Where'd you post this at? The snake?
On Instagram.
On my personal Facebook. It wasn't a poisonous snake. It just one of them and make you hurt yourself.
Oh. Fucking rattle cobra. Somebody just looked like it was 14 foot long.
It was a black, it looked like a black race or something like that, but it was about 4.5-5 foot long.
Where was he in relation to you?
He was I was set down at a stump and he was about 4 foot out from my left boot.
I couldn't have done it.
He just had his head laying up on that log looking at me.
Did you move him?
No, I had a bird gobbling.
Oh, Jesus.
There's no way I could have done that shit. He just sat there and watched he'd put on the snake and then deal on the snake. And I'm thinking, my thing is, I would have looked away and then that snake would have been gone. I'd be like, fuck that. I got to go now. Where is that bitch at?
Yeah, bastard slipped up under me.
Yeah, fuck that.
Have you seen the video?
But yeah.
The video of the guy that's at the tree stump and the damn rattlesnake, he sleeps and he has a camera on him. He falls asleep. Somebody crawls right across his leg, about a 5 foot rattlesnake. Hell no.
That would horrify me.
Me too.
Oh, here it is.
I just don't know if I could sit there and maintain.
No, that guy was asleep though. He didn't know until he got home and checked his game cam.
See?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, that's the. Like, you got a lot of leaves on the ground. We don't have that here.
Yeah, they have trees.
Yeah, we don't have those trees that y'all have.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Just chilling. Did you get the bird?
Yeah. Yeah, killed him, but I wound up having to take off from there and get down the ridge and cut him off. And then I had to wait about another 30 minutes. He bred, evidently he was breeding some hens, and he come wandering up.
See, I always have a hard time. I don't know if I don't go far enough or if I go too far. Whenever I'm trying to cut these fucking birds off, it never works out. Never.
These old guys have taught me that it's just, you know, if he got, like these old timers say, if he gobbles at you, well, he knows where you are. If he cuts you off.
Yeah.
Even though he's got some hens, they'll be patient. And I try to do that myself. Be patient. Let him get done with those hens. Then in about an hour or so, he'll come back looking for you.
Huh.
And he'll come back right in there and gobble again or just come wandering straight up to you.
I guess I'm too aggressive.
That's the way. That's a boring way to hunt. These running gun guys, but they want a hot bird. But, hell, I can't leave a bird to go hunt a bird.
Right.
If I know he's in there.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't ask you, Jeff, when that little scuffle went down out there in the middle of the street, y'all had my back there, didn't you?
Yeah, went back to find out where you were at.
Hell yeah. I know you did. That was pretty good right there.
you were right in the middle of all that stuff.
That woke me up right there.
Those cops didn't want nothing to do with that.
No. But they were cool. You know, I figured they'd come in there kind of hot and heavy and spraying mace and every damn thing, but they just come down. I guess they see it all the time, every night.
Well, they had a fucking chair almost fall on their head a month later from Morgan Wallen.
They don't want to have to do paperwork, and I don't blame them because all the bullshit, it's not like it was 50 or 20 years ago even. They got to do all these fucking incident reports. If you're drunk and nobody got hurt, go separate ways.
Right.
No sense jacking with you. Have you been to New Orleans lately?
It's been a couple of years.
I would like to see how. I've heard it's really gotten bad there at nighttime. Like really, really, really bad.
I've drove through there on my way to Venice fishing. And man, there's under the interstate, there's all kind of little tent villages and people hiding. Oh yeah, it's just, and you got guys that go down there and looking for damn trouble.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But it's nasty.
If you were homeless, I'm gonna ask both of you guys this. If you were homeless, where would you live in America if you were homeless? If you had a choice.
Key West.
To go anywhere you don't know, why Key West?
It's the southernmost tip on continental US.
Well, that'd be a long walk across 7 mile bridge, but that's
I sure would want to be in Chicago and New York, as cold as it gets there. Hell, I want to be somewhere that I can survive. And it'd probably be in the southeast.
Good fishing. All sorts of stuff. Now, do I have to be homeless?
You're homeless. I'm asking you right now if you had to.
I couldn't get a job on like a dock cleaning fish or something.
Well, most motherfuckers don't want to work that are homeless, I don't think.
Well, you got to set these parameters. Like, am I homeless and not looking for a job, or am I homeless and looking for a job?
You're homeless and not looking for a job. You just want to be a bum on the street.
Key West,
where you choose. I see places all the time and I'm like, why the fuck would you be homeless and this is where you choose to be at? Like, New York City does not seem like a good place to be homeless at. Or Chicago. Anywhere fucking cold would be out.
Yep. Yep.
California, I understand why everybody wants to be homeless out there.
Yeah.
Because the state's going to give you shit anyways. But me and Michelle were somewhere the other day and there was a homeless person. And I told her, I said, we was in Abilene, Texas and we saw some homeless people. And I was like, I don't get that. If I'm homeless, my ass is going to go sleep in an alley in a nice neighborhood. Because at least there you can get some fucking sleep maybe, and you don't have to worry about somebody hurting you.
Do the cops not run you off in the nice neighborhood though?
You got just as much right to be in that alley as you do under a bridge in town. It's public property. But I mean, that's where if I was a homeless person, I would want to find me a wealthy neighborhood that I could go just live in the fucking park somewhere. Not a city park, but in some woods right by there where you're safe at least.
Let me tell you, I almost had a heart attack this morning. It wasn't to a homeless guy. It was to a homeless fucking cat. I was walking around my truck to get in this morning to go hunt, and that son of a bitch was sleeping on top of my back tire. And when I come around the truck, he comes out of the truck, and good thing I didn't have a gun on me then.
Cats have scared me to death. I've gone out there to my shed at night, you know, come in late and go get feed the dogs, and open the door there and surprise one. I mean, they're just running all over every damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, you think that some bitches eat everybody in the world but you, and he's come to get your ass.
But he did. I kind of came around, and I saw something, you know, piecing it all back together. It was his head sticking out, and that motherfucker bolted, and I jumped, and he jumped, and hell, I'm surprised I didn't wake everybody in the whole neighborhood up. He scared the shit out of me.
My dumpster across the street from me, I threw a trash bag in it one night, and that fucking cat, as it went in, the cat came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I thought Sasquatch had my ass.
You wouldn't figure a little
scared
8-pound cat?
Shit out of rare. Like, what the fuck?
What the hell have I gotten into?
It's like stepping on a snake in the middle of the yard at night barefoot. Ooh, that'll make you hurt yourself.
I don't like snakes.
So, Stacy, how would you classify or rate your speckle belly season and your snow goose season at the end of the year, the conservation season?
My speckled belly goose season was, to me, by far one of the best that I've ever had. We wound up killing 4,625 birds. That's pretty good. That's pretty good year.
Yeah.
That was including snow geese. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a good season, even though we all agreed we didn't have as many specks as we've had in the past. I think a lot of them stayed up around St. Louis on us. Mm-hmm. But I had a good season. It was a good season for me.
What about your conservation?
And we wound up killing 10 bands this year. I killed a hybrid goose. It was a speck snow goose cross. And then we killed that, about a week and a half later, we killed that leucistic for a piebald speck. Mm-hmm. And so, hell yeah. This year was a great year for geese for me.
And then you killed one Canada and that son of a bitch was banded.
Yeah, it was a cackler or a Richardson. And that was the first bird we killed and it had a band.
One of one.
It's just, and the only one we killed this year.
Did they used to kill Canadas there years ago?
Yeah, on that Mississippi River, they did.
Because
they sure did. They used to kill them pretty good.
I read a book by what's the famous waterfowl writer? Can't think of his fucking name right now. Not Gordon McQuarrie. What's his name? Anyways, whoever it is, he wrote, and he used to write a lot in the early 1900s, and a lot of it was on the Mississippi and the Oxbows. And one of his deals was Nash Buckingham talks about.
Yeah, that's right. Shooting some- he hunted, Nash Buckingham hunted at Beaver Dam.
Yeah,
Beaver Dam right there in Tunica, Mississippi.
And he talks about shooting Canada geese and the duck holes. And what I tell you what really I like about his writing is how cold it was then. Now, they didn't have very good gear, so it was colder than it is now, or it seemed to be a whole lot colder than it is probably a lot of days. But talks a lot about the iced over stuff and talks about getting on a train and the servants in there, not slaves, servants. And just, it was really interesting. He's a great read. But he talked about shooting a lot of Canadas down there.
Well, my daddy talked about how cold it was when he was a kid. And he said that snow would blow through the cracks of the house.
Mm. Yeah, when you see them pictures, the old, like the Dust Bowl days, those houses those people lived in, you can see right through the damn walls and shit, and there's no wonder there's dust everywhere inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible way to live.
Heck yeah.
I saw a video today that was like, next time you're in a hot shower, be grateful. Like, that's a new invention.
Yeah. What have y'all heard on... Are they going to reduce any numbers on y'all? Have y'all heard anything like that?
We got an increase.
Yeah. 5 specs.
I know you got an increase on specs. But, you know, there's always rumors every year, you know, the state's going to do this, do that. But doesn't it take a couple of years before they announce something?
I can tell you what's coming. I can tell you what's coming down the pipe for you guys in Arkansas. You're not going
to lay it on.
You're not going to like what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now that the conservation snow goose season is going to end in the next 3 to 5 years.
Really?
That's what Texas has done. And they said they only needed one state to be a catalyst to start the whole thing, and it was Texas, which Texas really is not a player in it because we don't have the snow geese we had 20 years ago because all the grounds around Katy, that area down there, don't hold the snow geese. I mean, there's going to be that one guy who's going to message me. We still got snow geese. You don't have snow geese like you did 20 years ago. Everybody knows that. We used to winter about 3 million birds on the coast, and now I think that they're maybe 700,000 to a million now at the most ever down there. But they've done away with it, and they said there's 8 other states that are in line to do the same thing. And I think they're going to just nationwide cancel the whole thing in the next 3 to 5 years.
Do they feel like they're not a nuisance bird anymore?
They're not. It's made no difference on the nesting.
Okay.
I don't think they've done anything to diminish the numbers. And that doesn't make sense because let's just say 20,000 birds get killed during spring snow goose season. And that number's probably way off. It's probably a lot more than that.
Just for a round number.
But just 20,000. Well, still you're taking 20,000 birds off the tundra. But I don't know. I know there's a lot. There's a group of people out there that are against it. And there's a group of people that are for it. I
just know... And it's the same way, you know, we were talking about turkey decoys. There's so much money backing it. I mean, daggum, I think if Arkansas, you know, it keeps people coming in Arkansas for another month or so.
Yeah, but how many of our politicians now are non-hunters? They don't care. I mean, there's this is an example. It has nothing to do with hunting, but Biden just canceled all the drilling in Alaska. That's a bunch of money. That's big, big money, not compared to fucking hunting money. That's huge, huge money. That doesn't even play a factor in what they're doing. And so I don't think that the dollars really mean that much to the state like we think they should because they don't appreciate them. Kind of like Canada with the COVID shit, and they kept the hunters out for a couple of years. Those little towns were starved to death. They needed that money, but the state or the provinces didn't care. And I think that's one of our issues we're going to be dealing with in the future with hunting. Is the hunting dollars really that important to the non-hunter?
Shoot, I guess I just thought there's enough money behind it for decoy sales and revenue that's brought into a state when out-of-state hunters come in that it'd kind of be safe. But you may be right.
Look at Kansas. Kansas is doing away with letting out-of-state hunters hunt public property in some places.
Yeah.
Arkansas, you can't hunt
Limited that, 30 days. So
they don't really care about the out-of-state dollars.
Yeah.
So do they really care about the conservation season? I agree with you. A community like Stuttgart, that's a big boom to them, to the spring, the snow goose, the spring snow goose hunting. And a lot of other places up there, a lot of the other little towns.
Like that little town in Brinkley, Arkansas, where we're located. I mean, my God, there's some guys that it's make or break for them for during waterfowl season. Mm-hmm. That carries them the whole year.
The
a lot of guys are like that down there. A lot of companies.
The state of Texas, I don't know how much money they come in off of hunting, but little town like Knox City where we are, we're a big part of the economy for our town during hunting season. If they closed us down and we weren't hunting there, the people in town wouldn't give two shits and what they wouldn't care. Mm-mm. It wouldn't bother them because they don't realize it. Now the guy who owns the convenience store, he would notice it. The grocery store would notice it, but
Cisco would notice it. Grocery store would notice it because like you and I were talking about, you know, we're sitting there in Nashville, you know, we're not running as many people through as you guys are. And hell, we're still spending, $1,000 a day on food, $1,000 a day in fuel.
Yeah.
On everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff adds up for all them little small towns, but
heck yeah,
but those politicians don't care. And if it's a federal deal that ends up happening when they do with it, it's going to take away the states anyways, because the federal government regulates all waterfowl hunting. They just let the states pick and choose. And Texas was the first one to opt out because of the state of Texas. And I think some other states are, but I think in 3 to 5 years, you're going to see the snow goose conservation season go completely away. I really do. What do you think, Andy?
I don't know. I mean, the bastards take any chance they can to kick us a little bit more.
Yeah. And that's,
I don't know.
That's big business for Arkansas, Nebraska, Missouri, the Dakotas, some of them states. Some places aren't affected by it.
You would figure, like to Jeff's point, like it doesn't move the needle in Texas just because it's not the snow goose mecca that it used to be. I feel like Arkansas, with it being what it is there and some of these other states, that the lawmakers would not do it. Like Sarah Huckabee, I mean, she seems like she knows. She's pretty in tune with what's going on.
Ask me. I think they feel like it brings so much revenue into the state, like Arkansas and Missouri.
Yes.
You know, because they're wintering with us now.
Right.
You know, where they used to be wintering on the coast, now they're stopping, they're stopping short and wintering there. But it just brings such a big revenue in. But
yeah, I agree with you on everything y'all both have said.
I just think it's such a way of life there. You know, you've got the famous Stuttgart area, and I feel like it's just such a rich history and heritage in that area that Arkansas will be the last one.
New history.
Well, and you got the farmers that
Stuttgart's always
been. I mean, that's not their only income, but I mean, hell, we've sent a few kids to college from paying, leases on land. Right.
But
then when you're not, a lot of the land we lease is for snow goose on spec. Huh?
I agree with you guys.
They cut that out.
100%. But I don't think the economy, the money factor is there like you think it is, because you get into all them government agencies doing stuff and they don't really care.
Sarah Huckabee's a hunter, though.
I'm not talking about Sarah Huckabee. I think the federal government is going to shut it down and it's not going to have anything to do with the states. Oh, yeah, it is, too. It's going to be the feds.
Now you're talking kooky.
You don't think the federal government is going to? That's who's going to do it. They're anti-hunters you can get. So, and
it's going to be a state's rights issue.
We got to get Donald in there.
No, it's not going to be states' deals. It's going to be the federal government. They control all the water. The
federal government didn't say anything with Texas doing away with it.
They did not. They pushed for it.
How do you know?
Because I talked to a couple of people that are involved. That's where it's coming from.
The federal government
is part of the big push to shut this down.
I think you're in left field.
That's who come the cat. They needed a state to do it. They're wanting to do away with this. I'm telling you right now, the federal government wants to do away with this shit.
Why does the
federal government don't want you hunting anymore anywhere? Just this new shit they signed the other day with this Bureau of Land Management's going to start affecting all the big game hunting in the western part of the United States. The federal government is not for hunters. Let's wake up right now. If you're listening to this and you think the federal government gives two shits about your hunting rights, you're wrong. There may be a few people in government that want to see you hunt, but the federal government as a whole does not care two shits about you hunting.
But I don't think that they're actively sabotaging us.
I don't think they're actively sabotaging, but there's a plan in place.
But you just said that they're the ones that are pushing this.
They are. They, behind the scenes, are trying to close down the
season. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth here.
No, what did I say? Because
one time you're saying that they're not actively trying to sabotage you. Then the next you're saying that they're the ones that are actively pushing Texas to cancel the conservation order.
Behind the scenes, the federal government is involved. They're not...
I can't make sense.
Okay. The federal government is not openly lobbying to shut down the spring snow goose hunting, I don't think. Behind the scenes... They were pushing for the state of Texas to drop it behind the scenes. Eventually, they're going to get behind it and cancel it the whole way. There's states like Governor Huckabee that probably does like the hunters, but it's not that big income. What the income we think that it makes a big thing in the what would be more to Arkansas, bringing in them solar panels they're bringing in or keeping snow goose hunting? The solar panels is a lot more money.
They're covering us up, those solar panels.
That's where the money's at. That's what the government's more worried about is them solar panels than they are some conservation snow goose hunting.
They have took some good dirt. They have bought good hunting dirt and put solar panels
on. Somebody told me.
Acres and acres.
They're paying $1,000 an acre. So if you own a 160-acre farm, you're going to get $160,000 per year. Well, fuck, you can't blame very many farmers for doing that shit. Now, what was you going to say, Andy? I know you're going to try to dismantle
me. I've got the number here. Okay, no, I'm not going to try to dismantle you. It's a little bonus, did you know?
Okay.
Don't look at my screen.
I can't read that far anyways.
Okay. How much money do you think hunting brings into the state of Arkansas every year?
You talking about the trickle-down effect from hotels, everything, or just licensing sales?
It just says, I got a number here. I don't know what it entails.
I'm going to say $500 million.
Stacy, do you have a crack at this? Jeff's low.
Wow.
Is he?
Jeff's low.
100 million?
I said 500 million.
Oh, did you? Is it $1 billion?
$3 billion.
Now, that's counting leases, land, or that's the whole trip, the whole thing. The whole
enchilada. This is according to KATV ABC number 7 on your side.
How do you turn away $3 billion?
Says modern gun deer season kicked off on Saturday, helping to drive revenue for state and local communities. Arkansas Game and Fish noted that hunting in the state brings in $3 billion every year. David Farrell, owner of anyway.
They say a dollar rolls 7 times in a community when it's brought into community. So
and that, you know, that fella that owns Max Prairie Wings, you know, that's a big, turned into a big outfit. And he's pretty well connected, I would figure, in the government, state government.
Are we talking Chuck Locke? Is he the owner or just the runs the place?
Shoot, I don't even know. But, you know, that has turned into such a huge business.
Yeah.
Well, $3 billion, if it's turned over 7 times, would be, shit, I can't even do the math that much. It's $400 million. Is what it would be if that was the actual dollars taken just back and forth. But that doesn't surprise me. But how much money is that solar farm going to bring into the state? That's what I'm saying. We think of $3 billion as a shitload of money, but if it's spread out over the whole state and little towns got 20,000 here and 25,000 here, and then you turn it over 7 times, it adds up pretty quick. But how much money is the solar farms coming in, these wind farms? And
I wonder what's going to happen one of those solar farms out there when one of them hell yeah tornadoes comes through there.
It's somewhere down by Houston, Texas. A hailstorm wiped out 100 or 200 acres of solar farms the other day. And I mean, I guess they'll have to fix them and stuff. Hell, they're having to re-put new generators on all the wind farms out here at one of the big wind deals. Green energy is such a fake bullshit deal in the first place.
Says $5 billion for Texas
is what the solar farms.
No,
the money hunting. That's a lot of big deer hunting ranches too.
Hunting and fishing combined is $14.4 billion. That's in 2000. That's an article by Texas Parks and Wildlife in 2008.
In 2008,
yeah.
I know with all those solar panels, our power bill has not gone down.
No, it's not going to. They don't. Andy had a saying one time. He said on here, and it makes lots of sense. And I hear it all the time. Once a government takes something from you, they never give it back.
No. And that's kind of my concern with the conservation order is what's going to be next. because they're always looking for the next. So, and I don't like seeing hunters, you know, I hate to see opportunity getting taken away from them. Snow goose hunting in Texas does not move the needle for me. I've gone on maybe five my entire life here, so it's not a big loss for me. But I would just hate for another thing being taken away from hunters and having the opportunity taken away.
I mean, I'm willing to, you know, personally willing to take concessions on limits of birds, you know, reducing one or two here of this and that, but good grief.
Would you be okay if they said, like, you can shoot 30 during the conservation? What used to be unlimited, we'll give you 30 a day per person?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, I don't think that would even move the needle because most guys ain't shooting 30 a person anyway.
If they said 20.
20.
If they said 20 during conservation, you can kill, because that's what we can kill in regular seasons, 20 snows per person. And they said you can kill 20 per person. They've had a good day. They've shot a lot of bullets.
Hell yeah.
How many times during the regular season did you shoot a limit of 20 snow geese per man per hunt?
Did not. It's
you're,
tough.
Okay, you're honest. And I would have guessed that too. I would have said probably zero, because that's just the way it is, and I understand that. Because even in our best days of shooting the little small Canada geese, if our limit would have been 20 birds a day, it would have been tough to shoot a limit. Now, there's days you could have done it pretty easy. On the days work real good, but it would be terrible for those birds. So 20 birds a day does not happen very often. People that need to buy snow goose hunts need to realize that, because there's so many of them that getting into this sport think everything's based on shooting that. Whatever you can shoot the most limit on is what you want to do. You don't shoot 20 snow geese a day very often. So if you went to the conservation hunts, how many times during the conservation hunt did you kill more than 20 birds per client?
Oh, never.
See, same thing again, too.
Never.
Really?
Yeah. We never did. Now, we had some good days, but we never killed over 20 per person, ever.
Yeah, it's like 12 guys killing 240 birds. It don't happen. I mean, it just does not.
You put 10 guys up, that's 200 birds.
Yeah.
And the best day that I've ever had, and it was not during conservation. During regular season, we killed 147 one day. Was using mouth calls, you know, and it was a foggy day. We got them in there, and it was glorious. But we, you know, still wasn't 20 per person.
Right.
How many could we shoot in Saskatchewan? Was it 25?
I don't even remember.
It wasn't
that many.
We shot a limit.
It was 15.
No, it was more than that. We shot more than that. If we did, we broke the law then. But anyways, whatever the limit was, we shot one day, and then the next day we shot pretty damn close to it. I'd never been on a hunt where we killed 100 light geese in a day, ever.
20.
And I think we shot 122 days in a row, right at it.
Yeah.
But that's an amazing hunt. I can't imagine shooting 300 or 400. I just can't imagine that.
You don't do that often in a lifetime.
Right.
There's guys that do, you know, say they do it all the time, but I don't ever see it.
They're damn liars.
You know, you can get out there and shoot, slip in there and shoot a roost or something and kill a bunch like that, but we never do that. Everything's a decoy bird.
Mm-hmm. What I've always thought was interesting is the government, when this conservation season started, it was to trim the numbers so it would make the nesting ground so much better. That's what it was all about. That's all you heard about when it first came out, and he was going to let you use electric calls, and you were going to do this and that. Well, now you can use electric calls in the fall in Canada, which I don't understand why Canada needs them. They're dumb as hell right then. That's the last place you should be able to use electric calls, because you shouldn't have problems killing them in the first place. But there's things that would work. I knew some guys that went to Arkansas, and there was a guy that had this electric glider, and he could push them flocks of snow geese, and people were shooting the shit out of them. Well, they arrested him for doing it, because you can't use a mechanical device to push birds and stuff. If you're wanting to kill the birds, you should be able to do whatever you want to kill them geese, if that's what the whole policy is about. But it's not. Or they would make that it would be legal to do whatever it takes to kill those birds.
Yeah, you'd think if they're wanting rid of them, they'd let you do whatever it takes.
I mean, if you want to kill them, get rid of the damn things. I don't know. Mother Nature has a way of taking care of its own more than anything else does. And I don't know what the answer is with this snow goose hunting. I have no idea. I don't think canceling the spring snow goose season is the answer, but I don't even know what the push would be for it if it doesn't make a difference. Because when we hunted them, I think it's crazy to shoot snow geese now, and then people are going to hunt them for another month.
Yeah.
Oh, they're still, where are they at right now? They're above, around Nebraska?
They're South Dakota right now. I saw North Dakota.
Yeah, somebody posted. Can't remember where they were, though.
Our youngest son is in Alaska right now, and they still have snow on the ground. He told me, I talked to him last night. So there's still snow. Now, Alaska's a whole lot further than Saskatchewan, but I'm assuming there's got to be some still snow and stuff in Saskatchewan and Alberta. I mean, fuck, it was 40 degrees was the low here.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to a guy from Ohio, and he said their water never locked up that they couldn't hunt. Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
In Ohio.
Hell, I think a lot of it was that way up into the Dakotas and Saskatchewan for the longest time, November and December.
But, you know, that's what people, you know, that's what we're dictated by on our ducks, and y'all are too, is, you know, if we don't get the weather, we don't get the ducks. Right.
Yeah.
But the geese are coming.
There shouldn't be no ice anywhere at all. Carrot River is 52, 32, 65, 37. So there shouldn't be the whole Canada, the prairies in Canada should be open right now. So I'm assuming they're shooting snow geese up there. But they shoot them clear into May. And
what if they've had enough rainfall and everything, you know, they, a couple of years ago, they didn't have rainfall. They was in a drought.
They are now real bad, from what I understand. The nesting grounds are not very good for the ducks this year.
Oh, good. Another thing working against us.
Yeah, you never can put it all together anyways.
Never.
So it doesn't look like a good hatch for the ducks right now.
And it'll probably be another mild winter with low duck numbers and always against us, it seems like.
I think the duck number should go to 3.
To 3?
3 nationwide. Just go to 3 ducks. The duck numbers are down.
Ain't that what it was? That's what it was in the 70s, isn't it?
Well, we had the point.
100.
We had the
100 points.
We had the point system, but you could shoot 10 pintails. We could shoot 2.
Yeah, that's crazy.
10 green winged tails. And, you know, I grew up hunting all the times, and we shot a ton of ducks as a kid growing up. I don't remember ever shooting very many pintails. Now, we duck hunted out here. Right where I live now, I grew up duck hunting out here. All these playas out here, I could duck hunt on as a kid, and I don't ever remember shooting a bunch of pintails. I remember shooting a bunch of mallards. Well, this picture behind me that you can see, but you can't see me, but behind me, there's a picture, and it's my dad, and it's taken around 1980, 81, and I think in that picture, there's over 50 mallards. And there's another picture that I have I need to get done. It's him and another guy who's passed away also, so they can't get arrested for it, I guess, now. And they've got 62 mallard drakes on the tailgate of a pickup, just the two of them shot one day. We killed a lot of mallards. We shot a lot of teal. But I do not remember us shooting a lot of pintails. We shot a lot of widgeons, too.
And yeah.
We shot some canvasbacks. We shot 26 one day. But when I was a kid. But I don't remember ever shooting a lot of pintails, but we could kill 10. But they said back in the day, like in Port Lavaca and down on the Texas coast, them guys were just slaughtering the pintails when it was a 10-bird limit.
You know, down bluebills.
Yep.
I think you know, that used to be those, a lot of guys' bread and butter. Now they're down to one bird a day.
Yeah, so I don't have a problem if they went to 3 ducks. And all them outfitters in Arkansas or duck places that are duck outfitters, even Oklahoma and some places that just shoot ducks, those guys are crazy to think if the federal government said, hey, we're going to limit it to 3 ducks a day, that you're going to lose many customers. You may have some customers bitch and gripe and whine. People want to hunt. They'll go shoot 3 mallards and be happy, or 3 any ducks. They just want to hunt.
They do, and they want limits. But, you know, it's just like this year. We got some guys that come from South Carolina every year, about 3 times a year. And that's all I ever hear out of them is ducks, 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 ducks. When we're going to kill some ducks? Well, they showed up, and we had ducks, you know, and we're duck hunting. And he says, hey, are we going to get to go shoot any speckled bellies? I said, damn it, Tim. I said, that's all I ever hear out of you is damn ducks. He said, well, we kind of like shooting them special bellies now. I said, all right. So we went and got on them.
Make up your damn mind. What do you want from me?
But they want to shoot. All all they want to do is kill something. So if it's a three duck limit, that's going to be fine. But the mallard numbers are really coming way down and nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, they don't want to talk, but that's down. Pintail numbers are down. But
yeah, we come close to not having a pintail season last year, like within 170,000 duck wise.
And it probably, you know what, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they said zero pintails for a year. Because, I mean, you're not making a bag out of the pintails.
Right.
That's a bonus bird.
Yeah.
It's just duck.
And the guys, the public hunting guys in Arkansas, they're killing four birds. They're going after those four mallards, get those and get out. Mm-hmm. That's all they want to do. They want to see who can get there for the quickest.
Right.
And they don't shoot a pintail. They're not broke about it.
Right.
And I don't think my customers would be either. They're coming for the experience. They want to kill birds because it's not an experience if you don't kill birds, if you don't kill stuff. But, you know, they do like the geese. And, you know, like I said, when we got the weather, we got the ducks. We got some good dirt for it. But I would go with three.
I tell you what's always funny is I have the guy all the time, and bless her heart, and they'll be like, we kill something that's just a cherry on top. We don't care. It's just about being out here. I thought, that's not true. Because one son of a bitch call me wanting to come hang out here in June with us. Not one time.
We're out here every day.
Yeah. Come on out. You want to book 20 people at the lodge? We can feed you and do everything. We can sit outside together and visit. Nobody wants to do that shit.
We'll run it all just normal. I'll even set up a spread if you want.
So it is about killing, and that's why you're booking a hunt with me and other outfitters, and I understand that's what we're supposed to do. That's our job. But I don't think we'd have one drop off on sales if we went down to three ducks, if we were selling just duck hunts. Nationwide, I don't think nobody would complain. There'd be some complaining and bitching, but
hunt. You know, the captains were real mad in Louisiana this year down around Venice because, you know, I think their trout limits went from 32, 36 to 15. You know, they was screaming, you know, you're going to ruin our business. You know, people ain't going to come.
Shit.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. How many you don't need to fill a freezer.
Right.
What?
Full of speckled trout.
What's the trout limit? 15 now, you said?
Yeah, I think it's about 15 now, and you can't kill a bull red. Can't keep a bull red and kill it. And I think they went from, I think they're going to go from five redfish to three. I think that's their proposal.
What they got to do is those people have got to start realizing that you need to look down the road 10 years down. And the amount of outfitters that are fishing, because I don't know at Venice I've only been there one time, which was a phenomenal experience. But like on the Texas coast between Rockport and South Padre Island, 30 years ago, there was 50 people maybe guiding fishing trips. Now there's probably legitimately 1,500, you know?
Yeah, there's a pile of them.
And they're everywhere, and they're doing the same. They're fishing the same waters and doing. You got to give back some. I'm one of those guys, if I go on a guided fishing trip, I don't want to keep nothing anyways. I don't eat that much fish. I'd rather just throw them back anyways. But
I'm not going to fill my freezer.
But you do on your tuna trips.
Yeah. You know, you won't catch it. If you catch a tuna, you've had a good trip.
What's the biggest tuna you've caught so far off?
For me personally, it's been in the 80s.
That's a lot of fish.
And I've caught ling, about a 42-pound ling is my biggest. You know, when I go to Venice, usually I'm chasing triple tail, but, you know, I did catch it. I caught a swordfish last year. It weighed 277.2.
That's a lot of fish.
That was a tug right there. That was 4.5 hours of milk.
That does not sound fun at all.
Because I told him before I booked, I said, hey, I said, now look. I ain't sticking this rod in the rod holder for this, you know, swordfish trip. I said, I see all these videos. That's how people do them. I said, if I book with you, I said, I got to smell him. I got to see him. I got to taste him. And he put me in a harness, clipped me into the rod, and 4.5 hours later, we pulled it over the side. Mm. But I enjoyed it. I wouldn't do it no other way.
I'm assuming you like to eat swordfish because you got a lot of it to eat.
Oh God, I still got. I'm sick of it right now.
What time did you hook
everybody
them?
Everybody comes by the house to visit. Hey, y'all, some swordfish.
It's like okra they give away here in the summer and squash.
Yeah, that shit's expensive. I know. Do you want some?
I'll give it to you.
I got some in the freezer here at work. You know, for us to eat here.
How many different ways can you cook a swordfish?
Man, I don't know. Most of the time I just sear them in a skillet. Yeah. But, you know, I guess you could do fish tacos. You could fry it up, make swordfish soup, swordfish burgers. I don't know.
Like I'm a Bubba Gump now with the shrimp.
Yeah.
What time did you hook this thing?
Let's see. We caught 5 fish that day. So that was, we hooked that fish about 2 or 3 o'clock. And matter of fact, there was 9 boats within sight of us when we hooked it, when it got hooked. And time we got done, there was none around.
Everybody gone.
They had all done left. Yeah, they had all done gone in. And but that was a big fish. That was a big fish. Little boy won. He was in some kind of captain's tournament. He won $15,000 off that fish.
Oh no shit!
Yeah, that was the biggest fish caught out of there for the year.
Huh?
277.2.
4.5 hours. There ain't no way.
Mm-mm. Me and Tony caught a wahoo or something at Puerto Adventures, Mexico, and it weighed, I don't know, 100 pounds or something. We fought that submission for about 30 to 45 minutes. And that guy's like, oh, we put it on the boat and stuff. He's like, gonna put more down. I was like, no moss. I said, we want to catch small fish, catch little snappers and stuff. You sure? Fuck yeah, I'm sure. That's a jam job. There was nothing fun about that crap.
At 3.5 hours, I had that fish under the boat. We could see it. And he tried to spear it with that, you know, that flying gaff. He tried to spear it down there, and he nicked it. It was a little bit deep. I think if we'd waited maybe just another minute or two, could have got it a little closer and stuck it. And it went back. It peeled off another 450 feet.
Really?
And worked it back. Oh, yeah. It turned and left. It was down. We could see it on the scanner there, and it was down around 450. Then I worked it back up. There was some kind of level right there at 240 feet that it liked being in. It was comfortable. And I got it there. And anytime I got it above that, it got real uncomfortable. But the way we finally got it, you know, he started coming up a little bit, and it started trying to get under the back of the boat. And he just put that big boat into a spin. And we were spinning out there, and just the water was white. But finally got him in there close enough to kill. But the only thing is, swordfish is like catching a big old damn catfish or a stump. It's exciting at the beginning when you hook it. Then there's that big span in the middle, and it ain't worth a shit. It's just holding on. And then right at the end when they stick it and get it killed. Yeah. And then you're happy.
How deep was – were you fishing in the flower gardens? Is that where y'all were at?
It was 1,650 foot deep right there where we was at.
Wow.
We were bumping the bottom right there. It's got a big, long leader, probably 100, 150 foot wind-on leader. It's got a 10-pound weight right there at the front of it. And then to help it get down there, they take a piece of rebar about 2 foot long and all at least 1 inch thick and tape it and hook it to the bait. And then when it hits bottom, that rebar pops off. It just falls off. And now you're down there bumping the bottom. And yeah, that rascal, he's a dirty fish. Mm-hmm. When they get him in the clean, they put the water hose to him and a broom, and you're just sitting there washing mud off of him. He lays down there.
He is just an old trash fish, isn't he?
Yeah, just old carp, like a carp, catfish. Just laying down there with his mouth open.
That is crazy. It's gonna be.
So he was coming after your bait, though?
Oh, yeah. He whacked it about 6 times.
Oh, really? You kept it every time?
You could see the rod tip hit. And But he kept whacking it, And matter of fact, when we cleaned him, he had half the squid down in his belly where he had sliced it with that bill. Mm-hmm. But that's what they attack with. They'll attack with that bill. And it had little flashing lights on there and up in line. But yeah, he whacked it in too, swallowed that, and then come back and got the rest of it. And that's when he got hooked.
Did you ever think you're never going to, I'm never going to get this thing in the boat?
Oh, I did. I did. My buddy, old Dusty, says, he said, ah, fuck that. I'd cut the line.
I'm with,
30 minutes, all that shit I want.
I'm with Dusty on that one.
30 minutes is all I want of that shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know some guys that go out to try to catch big sharks. Same way. I mean, fuck, all you're doing is work your ass off. At least a swordfish is edible.
I just seen them cut my line when they hook a shark. But, you know, there's technique to fighting that stuff. And, you know, first time I went tuna fishing, you know, man, we were sitting there and we was pumping, you know, like you see on TV. You think you've seen on TV till you see a guy that does it every day and see how he fights it. And it's all with a straight arm. You just kind of use, you're using the big muscles in your back and your thighs. Mm-hmm. And they can kill a tuna in a little bit. But, you know, guy that don't know how to fight one, he goes down there and tries to muscle it, and it wears your ass out. Yeah.
I think a lot of people watch that Wicked Tuna and they get a false deal about how easy it is. They don't realize how.
Oh, that's ours.
Yeah, they don't see that. They say, oh, it only took them 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't take them 5 minutes. It took 3 or 4 hours. You don't realize that, but you're catching a 600-700 pound tuna.
And they have the technique down and it took them that long.
Oh, yeah, they're chasing him and they've got heavy enough line. You know, they're not playing. They're out for money.
Yeah, and that's an interesting deal, too, because that. The amount of money those tuna bring in is just absolutely incredible, but it's a lot of money to go try to catch them fish.
With gas?
Well, gas, the cost of a boat, the equipment. I mean, you break a fishing rod, that's a lot of money.
Oh.
I mean, an $8,000 or $10,000 fish, some of those fish are, but hell, they got a lot of money tied up in it. There ain't none of them guys.
Speaking of eating fish.
Do what?
Y'all eat, speaking of eating fish, y'all ever catch any flathead catfish?
Not on purpose.
My God, that's the best eating fish I've ever had in my mind.
Well, you come down here, and there's a lake around here. It's got a bunch of them. You can catch all you want.
Flathead catfish?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's like a...
I was in Kentucky Lake. I was up around Aurora, Kentucky, turkey hunting. And those guys had ordered ahead some flathead catfish. Flathead catfish bellies are delicious. That flathead catfish belly meat is delicious.
I'm not a big catfish eating guy though. I would rather have other fish.
They're not a strong fishy tasting fish. You'd think he as ugly as he is and you know in the mud, but he don't eat that kind of stuff. He's like a game fish. He's eating live brim and crappie and bass and like stuff like that.
I like catfish. But
delicious.
Like a channel cat is thought of to be the better eating than a yellow cat is.
I don't know.
Well, you get a chance and get a hold of some flathead catfish and let me know how good they were.
All right.
My father-in-law is cooking calf fries today. He's so fucking excited.
Are you excited?
They're delicious. Did I tell you? You know, when we went to Texas turkey hunting down there around Pearsall, and that guy cooked me some calf fries.
Yeah.
And they were delicious.
Yeah. I've had them good and bad. The good ones I had are very, very good.
They're good.
The bad ones I had.
Like chewing rubber?
Not very good. I mean, it's like that way on a goose or anything.
Joe Walgura. He's got some property down there and he lets me turkey hunt. And but he's got a little restaurant there in town. He cooked up him calf fries and he cooked up some turkey that we killed that morning. And hell, I wound up finishing up the calf fries. They were delicious. If they'd been the least bit runny, I'd have probably hurled everywhere.
He was also telling me about chicken, basically having rooster fries.
I've had turkey fries. They were really good.
I've never had those before. But he said when he was in college, he was taking some animal science class, and they castrated a bunch of roosters and fried them up. And he said they were delicious.
Yeah, I've had turkey fries. Really? Turkey fries are really, really good. I had something the other day in Abilene, Texas, that I never thought I would say was the best of what I had. I had some calamari in Abilene, Texas. It was the best calamari I've ever had in my entire life. It was sweet chili. It was just little fried calamari strips, but they had a sweet chili sauce on them. They were excellent. As good a calamari as I've had anywhere, and I've eaten them on both coasts. I've eaten them everywhere. It was the best I've ever had, and it was crazy how good they were.
But yeah,
I've tried it. Yeah, it didn't. Calamari didn't blow my skirt up, but the calf fries did. But I don't have to try them. The turkey fries, was it Wild Turkey?
I'm assuming not, because I went to a Super Bowl party and they had them, and I think they must have got them from somewhere like Cisco or Benny Keith or somewhere like that, because they had a fucking ton of them, and I can't imagine.
Next time, if I can kill another gobbler this year, I'm gonna check and see if they try to find them.
They're behind their wing. Well, they are on a chicken, like they're underneath their wing somewhere.
No shit.
Huh. Yeah,
I didn't.
Are they down below the vent?
It's like, I just looked at a picture online. It's like right here behind their wing. He said they would make an incision behind their wing, and then they'd pull those testicles out, and then they'd have to suture it up, and they'd have to doctor that spot.
Really?
Yeah, it's like underneath their wing somehow. I was trying to find the anatomy of a turkey where their balls are.
I'm going to find that. I know I've got now, you know, my turkeys, you know, I take the legs and thighs off, and I'll save them up, and I get two or three, then I'll put them in a crock pot with like onion soup mix and cover it in water and overnight. And then, man, it makes a fantastic, you know, meat for a dressing or makes a good barbecue.
Really?
That's what I brought in. I cooked three birds the other day. I cooked legs and thighs on three birds. And the next morning, hey, I'm on a conference call in here. Get out of here. I don't know.
He scared the shit out of me.
Go on, I'll talk to you later. Sorry about
You're
that.
You're good.
You scared the fuck out of me, though.
You gotta handle these people. You know what I mean?
What were we talking about? Turkey balls?
Yeah, turkey balls and the way you cook three turkeys.
Turkey balls. Anyway, I cooked those three legs and thighs up, and that made a gallon of meat.
Really?
Right there. Yeah, that made a gallon.
Fuck.
And then I'll take the hide, I'll rip the hide on up behind the wings, and on the shoulder blades on both sides back there, it's like cheeks on a grouper or something. And I'll cut out those two medallions, and they're white meat.
Hmm.
And they're good.
Yeah, this says turkey testicles are also on their back and between their wings.
All right, I'm gonna look for it.
Now you gotta go digging now.
And then I get
turkey fries.
What? That's the rocks out of their gizzard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like to save them right there on some of them. I'll date them. I think that was from last year.
That helps with their digestion or what?
Yeah, and that, you know, that big old gizzard, if you'll cut into it with your knife, and ducks and geese, same way. That thing's full of gravel. That's how they digest the seeds. That grinds them up.
One of the last turkeys I killed that I cleaned, he was full of flowers, wild flowers.
Up there in that little pocket right there? Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you pull that hard gizzard out, because, you know, all them Cajuns that come hunting with us, they want everybody from Louisiana and everybody from Wisconsin want the hearts and the gizzards out of the geese. Mm-hmm. And ducks.
Wisconsin, that's crazy, because we had a group last year from here and they wanted that shit. Mm. I guess that's a Wisconsin cheddarhead thing.
Yeah, they want, they're the only ones I've ever seen that ask for the gizzards and the hearts.
How do you prepare those? If there's fucking rocks and shit in them, you cut them in half?
My dad used to do it all the time.
You cut it open. There's like, you know,
that big?
It's that turkey gizzard that big around. Yeah. And it's got a seam, and you can cut it around that seam and open it up. It's got some pockets in there, and you scrape all that gravel out. And I just put it in a jar right there and save it. Some of them got little fossils in them sometimes. Some of them, not just damn rocks, but it's just something stupid to do.
My dad would eat the shit out of them gizzards. So he'd scrape those sand come out of them and wash them off and get all that stuff off of them. And
you get all that white membrane you know, like the geese, you know, they'll get that. He'll have that. He'll have green where they've been eating green in there, you know, mixed with that goose shit, I guess. And the rocks and gravel, because that's, you know, you'll see them out there graveling. Mm-hmm. When you see them geese up on them dirt roads. Yeah, and I know y'all got some gritty fields that there ain't no food in, but there's grit in it. You'll see them in there during the day, and they're eating that grit. For their crawl.
I told Andy the best bait there is in the whole world is oyster shells.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know.
Oh, they love the shit out of oyster shells.
You said something else, too.
Chufas is the other one. Pea gravel. Any kind of gravel.
Yeah.
But you get oyster shells. You grind them some bitches up, and you throw them in a pond, the bottom of them, you'll have ducks all year long.
Well, listen, there was a guy that was talking about in Mississippi, some guys were talking, and some guy working for the state was hunting, and they busted him for hunting over crickets.
Crickets? What?
Yeah, a guy running his farm. His farm went and bought 10,000 crickets and turned them loose like a few days before they were going to hunt. And the game warden seen it, got wind of it, and busted their ass for hunting over crickets.
First of all, I don't know how, well, once wintertime gets here, the crickets can be gone anyways, but.
But that's this is spring turkey. But I guess they go to one of these bait places or something, you know, where they grow them.
Oh, you, and, any pet store.
He bought 10,000 crickets, turned them loose to bait the turkeys up.
I'll be damn.
Oh. Huh.
I'd like to prove that them crickets are not natural.
I got fucking receipts, buddy.
Well, no, but I want the game warden to tell me that those aren't live, regular, native crickets.
Let's look at your credit card.
Yeah, well, I mean, his guy's in trouble. He was damn sure.
We have grasshoppers out the ass, I noticed yesterday when we were turkey hunting yesterday afternoon. Oh, fucking little bitty babies. I was walking through the grass, and they just exploded.
They ought to like them. You know, like you said, I've killed turkeys that had one time he was full of dandelions.
Really?
Those little dandelions, you know, they hadn't busted out in that fuzz, you know, and it was eating the leaves, and it was eating those dandelion leaves, and I really liked that.
Are y'all having mosquito problems right now? Because I've noticed we've had a lot of rain this spring, a lot. Like, we've had over 10 inches of rain since January 1st, which is wet for us, and I haven't had no mosquitoes yet.
Well, I've been sitting here scratching this right here where I got bit yesterday.
So y'all are having a bad, out there at the kennel. They're bad where y'all are at this year.
Yeah, we just got them. We just got the damn things.
We have those buffalo gnats here. I got a bite on the back of my ear that is driving me crazy.
You know, and then you go down in Florida and they got them, you can't even see them. They just, them no see them. They just eat you alive. Yeah.
That and chiggers.
And bite through your clothes and your hair. They're horrible.
Yeah, gnats got me one year, and like it knots up on me, but like right where my hat brim is, they had gotten like under there, and like right where my face mask sits, I didn't even really feel them biting me, but I woke up the next day and it looked like somebody put a pop knot on my head. I had bites all over me. It looked like I had leprosy.
When's our next waterfowl party?
Probably at Squad Fest.
Squad Fest or
Delta? Squad Fest?
Yeah.
Squad Fest, St. Louis. It's a good time.
Squad Fest.
I need to go. Is Ray Ray going
to
be there?
I think he usually goes to Squad Fest every year, and I think they're going to be at Delta. They'll probably be at both.
Hell yeah.
Ray Ray's a lot of fun.
We'll have fun. We'll tear that town down, too.
We always have a good time at Squad Fest. And the second night of Squad Fest is the night of the big fight. The Tyson-Jake Paul. Jake Paul fight is that Saturday night. I'm going to get a hold of Asher, and I'm sure they're going to have something for that.
You think Tyson going to get him with that old man strength?
He said he ain't jacking around. If he's serious about it, he'd kill that dude, I hope. But then a guy told me the other day that he watched a documentary on Jake Paul, and he said, if you actually watch a documentary, you actually kind of like the guy.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
That's what Joe told me at baseball the other night. He said, if you watch that, you said, you don't hate him as much as you think you would.
Yeah, I was telling some boys about that little tussle over there in Nashville on the street right there. I said, look, son, I ain't good as I thought it was, but I'm good once as I ever was. I ain't as good as I thought it was.
One last blast. That's all you need sometimes.
Hell yeah. I remember myself as a mean MF-er.
Yeah.
But I looked in the mirror and see them scars on my head, and I remember it's My daddy asked me, he said, son, you know how to block a punch? No, sir. just go in frailing.
Such a different world. This guy I'm friends with, Joe, was telling me about, he grew up, he's about, oh, I'm going to say 10 years older than me probably. And he was talking about, they lived in Wichita Falls for a little bit where I'm from. He said he had a brother, he has gotten a fight. And he said, this kid whipped his brother's ass. And he said, he come home and told his dad about it. And he goes, what'd you get your ass whooped for? He said, oh, there's three of them. It wasn't a fair fight. He said, what? He goes, wasn't a fair fight. He said, all right, fuck that. We're going to leave. So he took him back down to that house, told that old guy. He said, listen, my boy got in a fight with your boy today and said it wasn't fair. And there was three or four on one. He said, I want him to fight fair. He said, okay. So he walked out here one-on-one. He said, that kid whooped his brother's ass again. And his dad was so embarrassed. He said, God damn, I've never seen one of my boys get his ass whooped like that. But it was a fair fight too. So that kid just whooped him again, but just a whole different world. When the fight was over, that was the end of it.
Yeah.
We go down the road.
Man, I got to remember how old I am too. You can push my buttons, I guess, but it's just like in Arkansas this year, we had some guys set up. It's snow goose hunting. And, I'm hunting in a place that I hunt 7 days a week. It's an area. We got land lease right there. We hunted all the time. Well, they found a little 40 acres right there in between three pieces of property that we hunt. And we were set up on some birds that were roosted on our property. So, and I was watching from the road one day, and I kept seeing this truck watch our guys. So I pull up behind him, and from about 200 yards, and I'm talking to one of my partners on the phone. I said, I'm going to push his buttons. I'm going to pull on up there a little bit closer, see what he does. Well, he threw it in reverse. He come back here, and he was yelling and screaming and motherfucking me and this and that and other. I said, I've heard about all them motherfuckers I'm going to hear. And I said, anybody cut you off? I said, you just ain't got no damn land. I said, you're trying to hunt here where we hunt every day. And they're from Washington or somewhere down there doing that little snow goose chase that they do. And he got telling me how bad he was going to whip my ass. So, hell, I come out of the damn truck. And he had to leave. He ripped on down the road. But, I got thinking about that. There's a man 35, 36 years old. Why, he'd tear me apart. Right. I got to be careful about that kind of stuff.
My dad was coming back from Fort Worth picking a dog up one time, and dad was, 65. How old was dad when he died? He might have been 70. He was old. He was an old guy. Dad used to fight a lot. He was a big, big man. And he went into Walmart in Bowie, and he was walking in, and somebody hollered, hey, fuck you, in the deal. Those two guys were arguing. And dad said, hey, you both shut the fuck up. I'll come over and slap a knot on your head. Dad said he walked in Walmart, and he said, started thinking about looking around in there, and he said, fuck, I'm too old for that shit. There's nobody else around or nothing. He said, I dilly-dallied in Walmart about 15, 20 minutes longer than I normally did. Walked out, and he said, thank God they had left already. Got in his truck and left. He goes, I'm too old to be snorting off like that anymore.
Your brain doesn't know it yet. It takes a minute to catch up. Like, fuck, did I just say that?
Yep. We forget.
Now, a young person that's in their mid-30s, when an old 65-year-old man pops off, I'm going to whip your ass. A lot of 35-year-old men are like, whoa.
He probably can.
Yeah. He might hurt
me. He's got the experience to where he's comfortable saying that.
An old man is scary because he's lived his life. He ain't got nothing to be scared of no more. Like,
no, I mean, and I meant business when I come out of the truck.
Yeah.
We had an old man that used to be in law enforcement out here threatened to kill somebody. And I told the guy that he threatened, I said, you better watch it. I said, that man's raised his family, his kids. He means it. And he ain't scared of going to prison for what little bit of life he has left. So just think that, keep that in mind. An old man's a dangerous man. An old man with a gun that has nothing to live for is very dangerous.
That is true. That's why I think old Tyson's going to bust him up inside.
I hope he beats his ass.
I hope it's a good fight.
I hope he can't take a deep breath after that fight. I hope he go.
Tyson. What's Tyson, 64? How old is Tyson?
57.
I don't know why I tried to put
it. He's 1 year older than me. Boy, I have definitely let myself go.
I mean, man, I've seen the training videos. It looks like he's taking it seriously, but a lot, you know.
Man, it don't take but one of them punches that when he pops him in the damn kidney right there, and he's pissing blood. Mm-hmm.
It all goes back to like you were talking about with the tuna fishing, the technique, the language within the language, and knowing how to move your body to give yourself the best opportunity to inflict the most amount of damage.
Did you hear Tyson talk about his...
Tyson has lived that.
Have you heard him talk about his son wanting to fight?
I think I have. He made fun of him, didn't he?
Yeah, his son come up and said, "Dad, I want to be a fighter." He goes, "What?" He goes, "I want to be a fighter." He started laughing. He goes, "No, you don't." "Well, yeah, I do." He said, "No." He goes, "You can't be a fighter." "Why?" He goes, "You're a pussy." He goes, you went to Europe and went to college. You've got a degree in college. You ain't got nothing about you that's a fighter." He goes, "To be a fighter, you got to be desperate, down on nothing left, and all you got is to fight to get ahead." He goes, "You were raised with fucking everything in the world given to you. You are not. You're a pussy. You're not a fighter."
You know? He's not. Yeah. He's not hungry.
No, he said genetically, yeah, you might be a pretty big sized guy, probably pretty quick, but you're gonna get your ass beat by some guy off the street that's had to fight for everything he's had his entire life.
Those guys and those MMA fighters and stuff, that's a special breed, man.
Yeah. There ain't no country club kids fighting in the UFC. None.
Well, that's what Jay Paul is, him and his brother. That's them country club kids.
This guy told me when you watched the documentary on them, they had to work their way through it.
I don't think they grew up with a lot. I'm sure there was a lot of hard work to get to where they are.
Oh, you have to be. You don't get to that fight leaving. But he fights people that are already done.
Now, that is true.
But still, he's still a fighter. I mean, I wouldn't want to fight him. He'd whoop my ass, but I'm not a fighter anyways.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I need none of that.
I can promise you I don't. I find a way to talk my way out of the shit. Now, for $1 million, my ass is getting in the ring with Tyson.
Oh, I'm going to bite his nose off for $1 million.
Oh, I'll let that motherfucker hit me once and I'm done. But I'm going to take my $1 million. And I'm going to come out like I'm going to fight him.
He doesn't look like they said he wasn't able to walk.
And that mad to kick in.
I don't know.
Right. And then pride starts getting in the way. I ain't going down with that.
I'm
going
to go give it the other guy. He's going to beat my ass, but I'm going to take my $1 million and go home and be happy as shit. And what's the disgrace of getting your ass whooped by Mike Tyson?
Right.
I mean, that's not a big deal at all. I mean, it's not like you're getting your ass whooped by Pee Wee Herman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you told me, who whooped your ass? Mike Tyson. Oh, hell, that motherfucker's ass whooped by Mike Tyson. That gives you some street cred just there that you're in a fight with a guy.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Anyways, I hope you come to Squad Fest. We always have a really good time there.
I believe I will. And then the Ducks Unlimited is going to be where?
That'll be in Memphis, but Delta will be the week after. We'll be at St. Louis one weekend. We'll be in Baton Rouge the next weekend. Delta. At Delta.
I know I'm going to try to hit that in Shreveport for the Delta.
No, it's in Baton Rouge.
Ducks Unlimited in Memphis.
Baton Rouge.
Is it?
Okay. Ducks.
That's where they have the SRS is Shreveport. Yeah, the Super Retriever Series is there.
Yeah.
No, we'll
I'll try to get down
our
there.
Schedule will be at Delta. We'll be at Squad Fest one weekend. We'll be in Delta the next weekend. And there'll probably be something else we'll go to. We just don't know it yet. But there'll probably be something else coming up.
Okay. Andy, I'm gonna send you a couple of links to some guys that build some trumpet calls.
Okay. Send them over.
And man, they're game changers.
Okay, I'll try it out.
I mean, birds like them.
Huh?
Turkeys love them.
I'll give anything a try right now. I'm ready for some redemption. He gave me all I could handle this morning. He came out ahead, so I'll take all the I'll take all the curveballs I can throw at him.
Well, I enjoyed talking to y'all, man.
Thank you, Stacy. We'll see you in just a couple short months. We'll be here before we know it.
Yep.
Tell that pretty wife of yours, Jeff, to take care of herself.
Oh, she does.
See her down the road.
Oh, you want me to tell her to quit bitching at me so much? I'll tell her that, Stacy. I appreciate it. She got a new dog yesterday.
What'd she get?
She got a new Labradoodle named Amos.
Amos Moses.
A-M-O-S.
What? Who names a dog Anus?
No, Amos.
A-M-O-S.
That's what I said, Anus.
No, not Anus, but Amos. But a new Labradoodle, and it's her dog, so I'm letting her do as much as I can possible with this because Ollie was her dog that somehow became my dog. So her and Amos Moses are going to do some bonding, but she's very busy with that. And then she's doing a bunch of baking, I guess, this week. And but anyway, she's doing very well, and I will tell her that. She told me to tell you hello. She told me to tell you to get your passport so y'all can go with us to Mexico this summer.
Got to. I got to get that done, man. I got to get out of here for a while, get my... And y'all going to have to fly over to Panama City now.
We talked about that, too. We are we're going to Maine in the summer with the grandkids. We're going to go to Mexico with you if you come to Mexico, and then maybe in July we'll try to hit Panama City.
July, August, then... Let's see. When do y'all start?
September 1st.
September-ish?
1st.
For Doug?
Yep. And then basically, we're next day off. It'll be in February.
Yeah.
Yep. Other than going on our fall foliage tour. Stacy, my friend, you have a good day. Don't scream at that guy.
You too,
Don't
Bubba.
Scream at that guy again.
Andy? Yes, sir. How's your boys doing in baseball?
They try hard.
Can he hit it out yet?
Not yet. It's the first year of kid pitch, and... scores are about 15-14, and there's maybe 3 or 4 hits between both teams. So
just keep working on the basics right now, man. And it all comes together when they get about 15 years old.
All you got to do. That's what I'm trying to plant the seed right now.
Love you, boys.
See you, bud. See you.
Stay in touch.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. Right.
Good friend, Stacy Coker. Good dude.
Yeah.
Really enjoy him. He's one of my favorite people I've ever met in the waterfowl business. One of my faves.
Just got a nice message from Maddie.
You got a nice baseball game ahead of you tonight, don't you?
I do, yep. It'll be, like I said, about 15-12. I don't know which way it'll go, and there'll be about 4 hits.
Well, if you can get a kid that can pitch at that deal and don't walk people, you win.
It's a game changer.
And it's hard to do that.
Yeah, what I've noticed in my very, very, very limited amount of coaching, they change everything. From pitch to pitch, mechanic-wise.
Yeah, that's why when you get one that can pitch...
They'll hit a strike, and you're like, all right, whatever you did, just do it again. Well, then they're changing their arm angle, and their steps shorter, and their body's different, and it's just... Yeah, fuck, they're 10 years old.
I'd rather have a kid that doesn't throw hard but throws it across the plate all day long.
Yeah.
You'll win a whole lot of games because kids can't hit.
Right.
And I tell you one thing I do like about what y'all are doing with baseball is y'all don't have that stupid don't catch a third strike.
Drop third strike.
Girl softball games, third strike run.
Right.
Birds, balls in the dirt, they swing, and then they run to first all the time. I'm like, gosh almighty.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of people are like, well, when are they just going to start playing baseball? I don't care.
You know, when I was a kid, we played kid pitch from 6 years old on.
Drop third strike, though?
No, we didn't do that. You couldn't steal it when we were in the first little, which was, I think it was called Little League, actually. It was in 6th and 7th. And then when I got to be 8 and 9, we could steal. Like, right. I was a base stealing some bitch.
Right.
Like, if I was on first base, I was on third.
Yeah.
But I understood what was going on. You get a kid that knows what the hell's going on and understands a game, makes a big difference, too.
I was talking about that with my coaches. All the teams, you watch them, you can tell they don't watch baseball.
No, nobody watches baseball no more.
But I mean, and that's what I told my team after a game. I was like, y'all need to just turn on a baseball game, which, you know, I don't even know how many of them have TV. Like, if it's not on the screen, they don't see it anymore.
How can you watch baseball anymore on TV? Like, when we were growing up.
Sure, TBS probably doesn't.
I don't even know if the Braves games are on anymore.
You could watch a Rangers game.
You can't unless you got Bally Sports now.
Oh, really?
It's really screwed up.
That's not on Fox Sports 1 or whatever?
No, Roland was telling me at church that we were talking about
that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Braves are on TBS. I don't know.
I don't think they are.
I don't know if the Cubs are on WGN. I don't even know if we get WGN anymore.
I don't even have cable, so.
But
I gave him advice that my son can't, but I've taken him to baseball games.
Right. But when we were kids growing up, I could watch 3 different channels had baseball, and then Sunday night ESPN would have games a couple of nights a week.
I guess you could on ESPN.
But
I think ESPN has a game.
But you don't see it like it used to be everywhere.
Right.
But yeah, I think the Rangers, you got to watch Bally's to watch Ranger games.
I'll be damned. Unless it's going to be on like ESPN or something.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
All their home games are on Bally's, I think.
But I told them, I was like, you can just tell. Like, nobody watches baseball and they just don't understand.
They don't understand the game.
Like, I remember watching baseball and having a player that I wanted to emulate. And that's how, you know, you kind of play the game.
The kids.
You hop around and.
But when I go to Little League games now, you can see the kid on there that actually understands the game.
Right.
I mean, he stands out because he understands what's going on. Stanford's got a little girl that plays for them in softball the other night, and she freaking understood it all. I mean, she looked like a baseball player. She played first base. When she caught the ball, like at first base,
yeah,
she was automatically running to go do something. I mean, she just knew the deal. And when she was on base,
yeah,
fuck, she was a running fool. She yeah. knew, but she understood the game.
Mm-hmm. And so many of them, like once they get the ball, they think the play's over. Or, you know, they'll get him out at first. Well, you had a runner on second. Now you got to watch him because he's went to third. And now he's trying to – he's seeing what you're doing because he's about to come home. And it's just figuring it out, playing the game, and fucking up.
Baseball
That's the only way is just get out there and be shitty at it for a while.
Baseball is a white yuppie sport now.
Yeah.
It really is.
But it's been fun. Kids have improved quite a bit.
So. It's been more enjoyable watching y'all play baseball than it was kid basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely miserable. All right.
Not a basketball fan.
Thank y'all for listening to us. God bless y'all. We will have a Did You Know episode coming out next. Peace. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. Go check out all of our sponsors. Go check out Lucky Duck, Ducks Unlimited, Mallard Bay, Double T British Kennels, Mossberg, Stanford Outfitters, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, Hemp Hill Farm. Use the promo code BHP. Looking Glass Podcast, Shin Gear, Dirty Duck Coffee, Dive Bomb Industries, MLR Graphics, Pacific Calls, BHP25 promo code there, and Boss Shot Shells.